Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Seemed hard to believe yesterday afternoon when we got the word that there was an apparent assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump, this time at a golf course he owns in West Palm Beach, Florida. A suspect, 58-year-old Ryan Wesley Routh of Hawaii, formerly of North Carolina, was arrested. They chased him, but they was taken into custody without incident. And the former president is safe, no one else injured. But David, you reported extensively for us a couple of months ago, and right, hard to believe it's apparently happened again.
Especially as you heard how this was all unfolding yesterday. I mean, initially the story was that there was a shootout near a place where the president, former president, was in Florida. And then as more details started to come out, you found out, oh, this was another attempted assassination attempt. At least what we know in this case is the suspect is in custody. So hopefully we'll get a chance to find out what his motive is, because still 2 months after the fact, it's still not 100% clear what caused Thomas Crooks to decide to try and shoot the former president up in Butler.
And apparently there is a lot of information about this suspect on social media channels as well. CBS's Christian Benvenides.
Officials say the suspect left a rifle, a scope, and two backpacks when he fled.
And there's also a GoPro on the fence there where he was intent on filming what was going on.
While it's not certain that Routh fired at the former president, it is true that the Secret Service had spotted him and fired in his direction, and that's when he took off, and a citizen had taken his license plate down, and that seemed to be the key
right
to arresting him so quickly. And but he wanted to make sure Donald Trump posted that he was safe, and obviously unfortunate that this has happened again, but in this case, nobody apparently was injured. So, appreciative of that for sure. People will be talking about the weekend, the Steelers yesterday.
Sure.
Coach Mike Tomlin.
The weather was really nice all week.
That was Pat Narduzzi.
I'm really appreciative of the efforts. Just told the guys in there, start the season with two road games, be 2-0, man, it's a pretty good feeling. Obviously, we got a lot to work on, but it's good to work on it with the required W of the week.
The required W of the week. Yeah, it's good to get a win on the road like that.
Sure. The only thing that gets me is sometimes Pittsburgh sports fans get to the point where it's this early in the season, they're already planning their Super Bowl trips and so on.
Yeah, it's a little early for that. However, the good news is the Ravens lost.
Sure.
They're 0-2.
Sure.
Cincinnati lost. They're 0-2.
And certainly better to be 2-0 than 0-2 at this point.
And we've experienced that as well.
Right.
Cleveland ended up finding a way to win. So the Steelers are in first place and coming home to face the Chargers, who had a big game. So 1 o'clock, Acrisure Stadium on Sunday. Looking forward. And I would imagine, David, the Steelers crowd will be pumped up to welcome the Steelers home.
No doubt about that. Are they home the following week, too, do you know?
Well, how are you going to make?
Because usually it seems, because that's the great race weekend, and usually it seems like there was always a Steelers game that coincided with that as well.
The schedule is definitely home friendly at the end of the season.
Okay.
But we have the Chargers, then they're away against the Colts.
Okay.
Then they host Sunday Night Football against the Cowboys on October 6th.
Wow.
So, yeah, first three of four games are on the road. And Indianapolis had a good game yesterday, so we'll see. But one game at a time, David.
Right.
You know what the coaches say.
Right.
And last night, the 76th annual Primetime Emmy Awards. And there were a bunch of, a lot of these shows people never heard of.
Right.
FX's The Bear came into the night with a record 23 nominations and took home several awards, including Best Lead Actor.
Jeremy Allen White, The Bear.
Have you ever seen The Bear?
I've never seen The Bear.
Do you know what it's about?
I have no clue.
You know, there's a list. Aaron, did you ever see The Bear?
I love The Bear. Huge fan.
How would you describe to David what The Bear was all about?
Okay, so think of the bougiest restaurant you've ever been to.
Okay.
Where the chef is freaking out. The servers are explaining the food to you when they place your food at your plate. They're explaining the wine. That's the show, and it talks about a lot of chefs and their mindset and the turmoil that goes into having this perfectionist demeanor in the kitchen,
so,
and bringing what you eat.
Well, so is the bear the metaphor for the chef then?
Yeah, they call
yes. It. Oh my gosh, David. Great. Yep. Love that.
Very good, David. Yep. They call him The Bear, and it's set in Chicago. But there are a bunch of winners of shows that a lot of people don't know.
Like Shogun.
Shogun got all these awards. Do you know what Shogun is, David?
I know the Richard Chamberlain Shogun from
that was 40 years ago.
That was.
God.
I have not seen it. It's got me thinking, should I check it out? All these awards.
Right. Maybe that's it. You know, some of these shows that got awards, these streaming shows that aren't, most of them are not on network television. You know, for almost the entire existence of the Primetime Emmys, up until, you know, the last decade or so,
yeah,
it was ABC, NBC, CBS, maybe HBO, a couple others. Now, it's spread all over the place. Hulu,
right.
FX.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I was just looking at the list.
You know, the thing about that, too, that it gets me is that we've moved away from, you know, the following day, people would be talking about, hey, did you watch Murphy Brown last night or something like that? And people talk about it. Now it's, oh, don't tell me what happened on The Bear because I haven't seen the newest episode yet.
It's
it takes
so
away
true.
From the cultural, you know, the bringing together of people over what they watched or heard.
It's a good point.
Except for the football games. That's, you know, that's pretty much it.
To your point, that is one of the last bastions of collective viewing is live sporting events.
Or presidential
truly.
Debates
yeah.
and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So that's it. People will be talking about that, but a lot about the Steelers and a lot about what happened in 622 News Radio KDKA. This is Larry Richard and a special report from CBS. Former President Donald Trump safe following what the FBI says appears to be an attempted assassination attempt yesterday afternoon while playing golf just 2 months after an attempt on his life here in Butler, Pennsylvania. Local authorities said that U.S. Secret Service agents protecting former president fired at a man pointing an AK-style rifle with a scope at Donald Trump while he was playing on one of his Florida golf courses in West Palm Beach. Law enforcement officials said the man who pointed the rifle was arrested. Ryan Wesley Routh, 58 years old. Officials identified the suspect that he is a Hawaiian resident but used to live in North Carolina most of his life before moving to Hawaii in 2018, where he and his son operated a company building sheds, according to an archived version of the webpage for his business. Routh frequently posted on social media about the war in Ukraine, had a website where he sought to raise money and recruit volunteers to go to Kiev to join the fight against the Russian invasion. In June of 2020, he made a post on X directed at then-President Trump to say that he would win re-election if he issued an executive order for the Justice Department to prosecute police misconduct. That year, he also posted in support of the Democratic presidential campaign. However, recent years, his posts suggested he has turned on the former president. And in July, following the assassination attempt here in Pennsylvania, Routh urged Biden and Harris to visit those wounded in the shooting in the hospital, attend the funeral. And they're going to obviously go through a lot of information about the suspect, Ryan Wesley Routh, age 58 again, of Hawaiian residence. And former president was not hurt, nor was anyone else apparently injured in the incident. We'll have more coming up at the bottom of this hour, and also a report from CBS. 6:43 News Radio KDK. Last night in Hollywood, it was the 76th annual Primetime Emmys. And with the details, CBS's Carissa Lawson.
FX's The Bear came into the night with a record 23 nominations and took home several awards, including Best Lead Actor.
Jeremy Allen White, The Bear.
Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series.
Evan Moss Backer.
And Best Supporting Actress, Liza Colon Zayas, the first Latina to win in that category.
To all the Latinas who are looking at me, keep believing and vote. Vote for your rights. Thank you. Thank you.
But it was HBO's Hacks that beat The Bear to win Best Comedy Series, the biggest surprise of the night. The historical drama Shogun swept the top drama categories, including Outstanding Drama Series.
You guys greenlit a very expensive, subtitled Japanese period piece whose central climax revolves around a poetry competition. I have no idea why you did that, but thank you for your faith in this incredible team. Arigato gozaimasu.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
The hugely popular but highly contentious Netflix series, Baby Reindeer, created by Richard Gadd, won awards for Lead Actor, Supporting Actress, Writing, and Outstanding Limited Series. And when it came to great moments, this ensemble reunion of the West Wing received one of the biggest applauses of the night.
It's hard to believe that just 25 years ago, Aaron and the writers actually had to use their imaginations to create interesting plot lines for the West Wing.
A night of laughter, glitz, and glamour, and some history-making moments, too. Carissa Lawson, CBS News.
Reach out to us anytime. It's just a click away. Instant access at kdkradio.com is our email address. Instant access at kdkradio.com. And as David Balorado just indicated, we'll have more coming up at the top of this hour on the attempted assassination attempt. Hard to believe, and I know a lot of people got the word yesterday afternoon, David, just, oh, not again. Oh, no. Not again. But
right.
In this case, no one was wounded and or injured. So, and we don't know all the details about this suspect, but apparently he's left a treasure trove on social media.
Yeah, evidently. And, of course, that's, you know, with the pros and cons of today with social media. You can go back and find so much about somebody once you need to start looking into their past.
And,
but apparently he was really obsessed with Russia and Ukraine, having gone over and, I guess, what, apparently trying to recruit people to go over and fight?
Yeah, and as, you know, at 58 years old, that's typically a lot older than someone who, if you were going to become a mercenary.
Right.
But if you see the photos of someone, and they have interviews that he did before, prior with, you know, other media outlets in the past. So, but this happened in this case. And I used to work in West Palm Beach, Florida, in radio out of college, and it's along the coast. So if you don't know, it's just north of the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area.
Okay.
Former President Trump in Mar-a-Lago. It's the old post. estate. Do you remember the Post cereal?
Okay, sure.
He purchased it and upgraded it, and, you know, created a golf course there. He has other golf courses right around there as well, including in Miami. But this one is in West Palm Beach. And he was golfing in the afternoon around 2 o'clock when this occurred.
And so at least the difference in this case is, apparently, from what we understand, they saw the gun, they took action, the guy tried to flee, and an eyewitness jotted down his license plate number, turned it in. There was a very urgent all points bulletin put out, and the suspect was tracked down almost immediately.
And then taken without incident. However, he left the gun, AK-47, it was reported, and a GoPro attached to the fence. Now, there's a fence that surrounds this golf course, and he was apparently in the bushes. The fence is also lined with bushes. And when you'll see, and you will see a video of this fence area, there are palm trees, and apparently he could hide himself in there along the fence line. Now, there's a backpack left and a GoPro attached to the fence.
Sure.
And they presume that he wanted to video himself doing this.
And, of course, there's been some speculation. Was there enough Secret Service protection because he was able to get that close? Some people were saying, I heard a report somewhere, and I can't remember who it was that was making this assertion, but the claim was that if he were the sitting president, there would have been much more security, and they would have been able to have kept him from even getting that close to where he was.
We're talking 300 to 500 yards. So if you look at a football field, sure, it's 100 yards to give you some perspective. If you lined up 3 to 5 football fields, that's quite a distance, but not apparently if you have a scope and a rifle of this magnitude. So we'll continue to bring you details as we work our way through this Monday morning. Our top story is former President Trump, apparently the target of a second assassination attempt. And let's go to KDK's CBS coverage from the network.
A second possible assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump, this time when he was playing golf in Florida. Officials say that the gunman fled after a Secret Service agent fired shots at him. A short time later, we're happy to say the suspect was arrested around 50 miles away. The former president was not harmed. Robert Costa is in West Palm Beach tracking all of this. Bob, this is so troubling and disturbing. I'm glad they have somebody in custody. Good morning to you.
It really is. And sources close to former President Donald Trump say he's in good spirits today and has been recounting what happened to friends, family, and advisors and praising the Secret Service. And they say he is determined to carry on with his campaign this week.
A second apparent assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump, coming just 2 months after another at a Pennsylvania rally in July.
Former President Donald Trump is safe and unharmed.
Law enforcement officials said while Trump was playing golf, a Secret Service agent ahead of him spotted someone along the perimeter of the course in the bushes with a gun.
They have an agent that jumps one hole ahead of time to where the president was at. And he was able to spot this rifle barrel sticking out of the fence and immediately engage that individual.
According to authorities, the incident took place near the 5th and 6th holes, while the former president was just 300 to 500 yards away. The agent fired off 4 to 6 rounds, and the suspect then took off in a car parked nearby.
A witness took a picture of the car's plate and reported it. Then law enforcement tracked the car north in Martin County, and the driver was taken into custody without incident.
Left behind in the bushes that line the golf course, according to the Palm Beach Sheriff, an AK-47 style rifle and scope, along with 2 backpacks and a GoPro camera. Multiple officials tell CBS the suspect is Ryan Wesley Ruth, who's in his late 50s. And has had previous encounters with law enforcement, including charges related to unlawful weapons possession. Ruth also traveled overseas in 2022 to Ukraine to fight in the war against Russia and spoke in interviews about supporting the Ukrainian effort.
We need everybody from around the globe to stop what they're doing and come here now and support the Ukrainians to end this war.
Following the incident, Trump on Sunday wrote in a campaign fundraising email, "I am safe and well. Nothing will slow me down." Samantha Vinograd is a CBS national security contributor.
However, it is incredibly important until we learn of the specific motivation that individuals don't assign blame or indicate that they know what the motivation was. This could lead to unnecessary copycat attacks, retaliatory attacks, and overall an even more heightened threat environment in the country.
President Biden and Vice President Harris have both been briefed. In a statement, Vice President Harris said violence has no place in America. And the president said the Secret Service should make every resource available to former President Trump to make sure he is protected.
And we'll continue, obviously, to follow the details as they unravel this morning. And the president, again, reiterating that they will support whatever Secret Service needs to help keep the former president safe. And violence has no place. Vice President Kamala Harris Sunday condemned political violence, said she was deeply disturbed by the possible assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump. She went on to say, "As we gather the facts, I will be clear. I condemn political violence. We all must do our part to ensure that this incident does not lead to more violence." And so we'll continue to bring you the latest here on the Big K Morning Show. Paul Rasmussen.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. Remarkable fight. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
On vacation this week, David Balorado in. And David, the school threats continue to disrupt a lot of area school districts. It's really changed the narrative as we've gotten into the first few weeks of this school year.
Right.
I mean, this is happening. I can't remember
almost on a daily basis
this number of schools that are having these threats. Now, you know, they've mostly been determined to be, you know, in spite of the fact that they don't think they're credible.
Right.
They have to
act. Right.
But it's so disruptive. And a lot of parents and a lot of kids, frankly, have a lot of anxiety about it.
Sure.
But with the social media, and in some cases, the inability to track the source, it's a big issue. Now, I know a lot of them have engaged the FBI to try to find out who's behind it. We found one was reported to be an elementary student,
right,
a female who was 10 years old.
Right.
I'm not sure what they can do to stop it.
And a lot of it showing up on Snapchat as well. But I think that actually is probably helping law enforcement to be able to determine a little bit more about whether they're credible or not, just by being able to look at the, you know, the digital equivalent of the paper trail on each of those. But it's one of those things that the FBI, you know, when they issued their statement last week, they talked about, you know, they have to investigate these because, of course, no one wants yet another Columbine, right? No one wants to see something like that happen again. But it's a strain on resources. It's a strain on the district. It puts people and first responders in unnecessary danger to try to investigate all of these things. And at some point, it's, you know, you have to wonder, when is this going to stop? Because it can't be a daily occurrence. And unfortunately, for the last 2 weeks, it seems to have been a daily occurrence.
Oh, it has been. And we're not talking about this is isolated to one or two school districts. This is widespread around the southwestern Pennsylvania region.
Right. But, well, even slightly beyond that as well, because the FBI's statement last week mentioned West Virginia as well. So apparently it's been going on in that region too.
And my guess is it's something that's pretty commonplace around the country. You know, we're reporting these here daily.
Right.
Because it's local, but we'll look into the fact that this has got to be going on around the country.
Right. And then the motivation behind them too. Why are they doing it? Is it something simple like trying to get out of a quiz, or what's going on with it?
You know, if you're dealing with,
or if someone really is planning to do something. I mean, again, you can never fully discount that.
That's the issue.
Right.
You can't, once one of these threats are made, they have to act, even though they know the 99% of them or more are not credible.
Right.
But that if they don't, and there was an issue, imagine the liability for that.
Sure.
So, meanwhile, we'll continue to get some more details. Seems like there is a lot known about this suspect in this alleged assassination attempt. 58-year-old Ryan Wesley Ruth.
That's how I've been hearing. Yeah.
Yeah. Hawaii. That's his residency since 2018. He spent most of his life in North Carolina. He's got a long history of activism, and as you heard in that CBS report perhaps a few minutes ago, they've got this guy talking about and with photographs of him in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. He's got a real interest in Ukraine and what's going on with the Russian invasion there. In this case, though, it wasn't a large crowd. No one was injured, including in former president, obviously, posting right away yesterday that he was safe,
right,
and taken to his home in Mar-a-Lago, which for people don't know, that's in the vicinity of Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, Florida, where Donald Trump has a huge footprint because he owns a number of golf courses in particular.
Right. That's an interesting distinction you just made as well. This was not at a crowded event. Comparing, contrasting with what happened in Butler, where, you know, unfortunately Corey Comparator was killed trying to protect his family when the shots were fired. So the question that comes up with a lot of people have been asking, so how did he know that he was going to, how did the suspect, Ruth, how did he know that Donald Trump was going to be there at that time?
That's a great question. Although, you know, he owns those. And this is, if you'll see, and you will see, the video and the pictures that we've seen where along the, you know, property line of the golf course is a fence, mm-hmm. a fence line with bushes along the fence, and then there's palm trees, and then there's a road. So he was apparently in the bushes. So if people were driving by, they wouldn't necessarily have seen him.
Right.
But one of the Secret Service, you know, surveying. Now, if he's 300 to 500 yards away, that's far enough, but I'm told if you have that type of weapon with a scope, that's not, you know, that's within distance.
Right.
That you could be, you know, a sniper, basically,
right.
Is what it comes down to.
Right.
They saw this, one of the agents saw this muzzle of a gun, and that's when they reacted. But again, they're not sure if he fired a shot, but some Secret Service agents or agent did.
Right. And at least we know, like, you know, as we were saying earlier this morning, at least we know since he was taken live into custody, we'll at least be able to find out a lot more about the motivation, because there's still, it seems hard to believe that there's still so much that's not known about Thomas Crooks and his motivation for that attempted assassination in Butler back in July. But there's been no clear-cut motive stated as to what was going on. We know he was looking at a bunch of different events to try to apparently create some sort of, and turn it into an event. And he chose that one because it was coming up. But we still don't know exactly what prompted him. So hopefully the investigators will be able to help determine what prompted this down in Florida.
And with Crook's case, it looked like he had looked at Biden's schedule too, and the DNC's event in Philadelphia. But when he found out that Donald Trump was coming to Butler, I guess that was obviously a more accessible target for him. But it just to create an event, I mean, no one will be certain because he's not here to elaborate of what the real motivation was. But is it just to create an event by doing something like this, like these school shooters do?
Right.
But in this case, they'll have somebody that they can, I mean, we expect to hear a lot more information.
Right, because think about it. That's one of the problems. You know, somebody, I was reading somewhere making mention of Jack Ruby yesterday. Unfortunately, when Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald, that ended the chance to have any interrogation of him in depth. And so we have 60 years of conspiracy theories about what happened.
I'm Larry Richard, and every Monday at this time, we check in with Brian Caranta from Secure Money Advisors, brought to you by Brian and his team. And what Brian does is help you deal with all the amazing issues that you have when you're trying to figure out how to retire. So, Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Happy Monday to you.
You too. So a lot of people might think, okay, in the course of your work life, a lot of people have something in a stock market, and they think, well, that's the gold mine, right? Majority of individual stocks go high and low, as you well know, and it's very unpredictable. Volatile would be a good word. So how do you dive into this to secure your financial future?
Yeah. Well, it's tough because there is a recent study that was done by Arizona State professor Hendrik Bessembinder. And wait till you hear these numbers. And we've always kind of known this, but this really quantifies the challenges that people have going into retirement and through retirement when dealing with the stock market. So according to his research, just over half of the 29,000 stocks in the U.S. stock market ended up negative compound returns over their lifetime. So the median performer in the group had a cumulative return of -8%. This means that for most individual stocks, there's a greater chance you'll see a loss rather than a gain. In fact, if you would have held just a treasury bill, you would have outperformed 60% of the stocks in the stock market.
That's
and by the way, this was, go ahead.
We only hear about the big winners.
That's it. We only hear about the big winners. And the stock market overall has produced incredible returns thanks to those small number of mega winner stocks that carried the market. And what Bessembinder's research found is that just 83 companies were responsible for half of the total wealth creation from 1926 to 2019. That's incredible. So that's only 4% of the stocks generated all the net wealth during that time. So when we talk about mega winners, we're talking about like NVIDIA, right? Amazon, Facebook, all right? NVIDIA posted a 33% annual growth rate over two decades. That's a, you know, or the Altria Group has a staggering 265 million percent return. That's incredible.
But it's almost like playing the lottery to some degree, maybe not quite as astronomical, but still you're betting on success. But you're telling me the actual data and statistics say that's not the winner.
That's exactly right. And this further is backed up by one of Charlie Munger's statement, Warren Buffett's partner, Charlie Munger, who had said that out of all the stocks him and Warren had purchased, hundreds of stocks that they'd purchased over their lifetime working together, only about 10 were responsible for their wealth. So, you know, if you're nearing retirement, you simply can't afford to take unnecessary risk with your money. While the idea of hitting mega winners sounds appealing to a lot of people, and there's a lot of journals out there you can purchase, like Motley Fool, and lots of people out there will tell you what individual stocks to purchase, but you've got 60% of them that have an average negative 8% rate of return. So we have to have a comprehensive plan in place. And this is why it's so important to have a plan. But it also shows that stock picking it mathematically does not work to your advantage when you have that percentage of companies showing negative returns and only a few showing positive returns. And how are you going to know which are going to be the winners and losers each year? So this is why working with a fiduciary who is legally obligated to act in your best interest can help you structure a plan that balances growth with protection. And this is why I always believed in keeping things simple, because it's about having the right strategy so you don't have to depend on catching that one elusive stock that outperforms the market. And I know everybody has that Uncle Joe at the holiday dinners or their buddy that's telling them about this individual stock that they purchased, and everybody feels like they're missing out. But they only feel like they're missing out when people are making money. They don't feel that way when people are losing money. And this is, in my 25 years of doing this, this is when I realized that, wait a second, the most important thing we can do, all of us, including myself, is to make sure that you have a foundation built first, meaning that you have your essentials taken care of, your expenses, right? Making sure that you have a way to put food on the table, take care of your expenses. And this is why focusing on the strategy for income and getting yourself guarantees first is what matters. Once you do that, take all the risks that you want, pick all the individual stocks that you want. But you have to understand, with over 50% of the stocks having an average rate of return of negative 8%, you have to understand that the cards are stacked against you here, because most people are not stock pickers, Larry, right? So this is why I wrote the book, Right Track Your Retirement, because people needed a way to build a retirement plan that they could rely on that would give them peace of mind and security, not only going into retirement, but through retirement, because the last thing you want is to be in retirement, not getting it right, your portfolio not performing correctly, and knowing that you're going to probably have to go back to work because you're not going to be able to continue to take the money that you want to take out of your portfolio because it didn't perform the way you thought it was going to perform.
Yeah, there's a simple acronym for this called FOMO, which is fear of missing out, because people hear about, oh, so-and-so made a bunch of money on one stock. And let's face it, even experts in the stock market don't know 100%, or they'd all be billionaires too. So what do
That's
you
right.
expect from us as just average citizens with limited knowledge, guessing what's going to go up and down over the course? And it's hard for the experts to be successful at it. That means it would be a lot harder for us.
Yeah. And, you know, did you know 80% of the mutual funds out there never beat the S&P 500? And every one of those mutual funds, what they have in common is they have a professional team behind them making decisions on what stocks to buy and sell. And over 80% of them can't beat the stock market. So what does that tell you? Right. Wow. So there's a better way to do this, folks. I'm telling you, you know, when I got into the financial industry 25 years ago, I was brainwashed like every other financial advisor that we thought it was a great idea to put your money at risk. I don't believe that. And I haven't believed that for the last 15 years. Now, I'm okay with the stock market. I'm not against the stock market. As a fiduciary firm, we use all investments. But my message to people, and you'll hear me say it over and over and over, is you should be more concerned about the return of your money than the return on your money. Because in retirement, the only thing that matters is your peace of mind and security and doing the things you promised yourself you were going to do. And the last thing you want is anything going wrong during that period of time.
Ryan Quaranta, appreciate the great info. RightTrackPittsburgh.com, and we'll talk to you next Monday. Coming up at the top of this hour, we're going to talk to our sports director, Jeff Hathorn. How about them Steelers? Two road wins to open the season before they come home to face the Chargers Sunday at Acrisure Stadium. Plus, That backyard brawl was an epic performance by the Panthers on Saturday. And we'll continue to bring you the latest on the attempted assassination attempt in West Palm Beach, Florida. We'll keep you posted on the details as well.
I'm really appreciative of the efforts. I just told the guys in there, start the season with two road games, be 2-0, man, it's a pretty good feeling. Obviously, we got a lot to work on, but it's good to work on it with the required W of the week.
Required W of the week, yeah, 13-6 Steelers winners in Denver yesterday. And joining us on the Big K Morning Show, our Odyssey Sports Director, Jeff Hathorn. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. It's a victory morning two times.
Yeah, all the way around. There's a lot of good stuff happened in sports over the weekend for Pittsburgh fans in general. And Coach Tomlin is correct. It's tough to win on the road in the NFL. I don't care who you are. And to get back-to-back wins to open the season and come home 2-0 feels pretty good. Yet, as any coach will tell you, and Coach Tomlin said it too, a lot to work on. So overall, what was your assessment of the Steelers' performance?
Yeah, I think that the fact that they got a win. I mean, these are two games. If you're optimistic or think this team's going to be above 500, these are probably two games you thought they would win or that they needed to win. There were not a lot of style points in this one, but they did find a way. The defense continues to impress. They're using different guys. That's a good sign. They have some different looks. But, you know, offensively, if you thought that they, you know, were going to magically have a transformation where they became this high-powered Kansas City offense, they got a ways to go.
And I think a lot of eyes certainly on Justin Fields for obvious reasons. Russell Wilson still, and maybe that'll change, and we'll find out tomorrow at noon when Coach Tomlin has his press conference, but Russell Wilson did not play because of a calf issue, yet Justin Fields, what did you think of his performance?
So at halftime, I would have told you that it's Justin's job. Like, Russell may not get this job because I thought Justin played really well in the first half. That throw he made that was called back, the 51-yarder, that's one of the best throws I've seen in the last 5 years. I mean, that was an incredible pass. Obviously, it didn't count because of a holding penalty, but I thought he played really well in the first half. In the second half, not as well, and obviously the offense got really conservative. It seemed like the plan was just, hey, don't lose this. Don't turn it over. Our defense is going to win this game, and they did win the game. But overall with Fields, I think because of the second half, he kept that door open that when Russ is healthy, he takes over as the number one.
Yeah, I thought he made some incredible throws. He's clearly very athletic. You know, I saw that stat yesterday where he ran, you know, was the rushing quarterback title when he played in Chicago. Ran, 178 yards? So he's
right. And Larry,
a talent.
You know, if you're a Bears fan, you probably think this is what we saw for the last 3 years. Here's a guy who, man, he shows these glimpses, and you're like, all right, we've got our guy. And then he shows some things that make you cringe or that aren't as impressive. And you wonder, okay, is this the person? And consistency has been in his entire NFL career. But, man, you really get tantalized by some of those plays he makes.
So what do they do? Because the defense showed they're strong. They really played lights out and shut down the Broncos, kept them out of the end zone, had turnovers, everything you want. And they did win the game. One touchdown in two games for the Steelers offense, yet they're 2-0. How does that happen?
Right. I mean, part of it's the competition, but, I mean, the defense is just – they bring pressure most times with just four. So you're allowed to have seven back there. And with a few exceptions, and you're going to have those. You're playing against NFL players. Other teams are going to make plays. They had one broken.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the Snacktime MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And coverage on a fourth down, but other than that, and the defense, and when you look at the money that's in that defense, you look at the first round picks that are in that defense, as Tomlin said after the game, they should be good, and they are.
We are who we think they are. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right.
And it starts up front. I mean, TJ is playing at an elite level right now. They're getting good play from that, you know, defensive front. And I think Alex Highsmith is starting to up his game a little bit too.
Jeff, is it just me or were there so many penalties? It seemed like every other play there was a penalty on one team or the other. Just really annoying and bogs down the game. And, of course, Roderick Jones, three holding penalties cost him his job for the day.
Yeah, he came in the third series for Troy Fautano. And really, that was kind of the plan, that they were going to have Jones come in. They were rotating him during the week that at some point, and you thought, well, maybe it might be for Dan Moore, but he comes in for Fautano, and he commits those three penalties in six plays and gets pulled during the series, never to return. He's got some work to do because, I mean, he's going to have to earn that position back. He's a first round pick. You think at some point he's gonna do that, but man, you can't have those type of penalties. And the Steelers' margin for error on offense is so slim that almost any penalty is gonna really disrupt a drive.
And what do we know about the Chargers coming to Acrisure Sunday for the home opener?
Well, they've got the other Harbaugh.
Yeah.
So it's the first Harbaugh meeting of the year. Justin Herbert has his leg rolled up on towards the end of the game yesterday. So there's a little question about his health. It seems like he'll be able to play, but that would be a monster loss for the Chargers if he's not able to play. Now that they've got Harbaugh there, it's like they've simplified what they do, and they're almost Steeler-esque, except they've got a more consistent quarterback. They like to run the football, and they play pretty good defense as well. So this could be a whoever gets to 10 first on Sunday.
And I know you're upset that the Ravens lost again. They're 0-2. Oh. Cincinnati's 0-2. The Browns eked out a win, but the Steelers are in first place. I know it's early, but hey, you take what you got.
I mean, the AFC West has been kind to the Steelers, especially Kansas City with a couple of wins in Vegas yesterday, winning in Baltimore. It's still early, and I would say this about both those teams being 0-2. Kansas City's the best team, at least in the AFC, if not the NFL, and they played at their place, both did, and took them down to the last second before losing the game. So I still think those teams are good, but hey, any little advantage you can get, as much as it feels at times like a long season, you only play 17 of these. So the fact that the Steelers already have a two-game cushion on those guys, that's nice.
you have a few more minutes. I want to catch up. It was a huge weekend for Pitt fans, and we can go back to the backyard brawl if you got time.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Jeff Hathorn, our Odyssey Sports Director on the Big K Morning Show from the PJ.
Fourth and 10. Here it is. Green back. Green. Plenty of time. Waits. Breaks contained. Throws a pass down the field. It's intercepted. And that's your ball game. Pulling that ball in front of the receiver was Kyle Lewis.
Let's go.
What a comeback.
That's our Hall of Fame voice of the Panthers, Bill Hillgrove, along with Pat Bostic. And we're with Odyssey Sports Director Jeff Hathorn. An unlikely finish, Jeff, when you consider that with 4:55 remaining in the fourth quarter, the Panthers were 10 points behind the ears. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't really recognize your voice at first with the let's go, but that was well done.
Oh, no, that was Bostic. He couldn't control himself. He was so excited, and understandably so, because that was a legendary come-from-behind win. And these guys, as Coach Narduzzi said last week, hey, I got the cardiac kids, but I don't want to do that every week. But they ended up doing it again.
Whatever you got to do to win these games. Yeah, it's been two pretty epic comebacks when you think about that 21-pointer on the road and then to be down 10 with under 5 to play against your rival. And, I mean, Eli Holstein is something special. I mean, they made some plays defensively. They've figured some things out. You know, Brandon George had the scoop and score off the punt, off the block kick. Like, they did make some plays in other areas. But this kid, man, he makes mistakes. And what you're seeing right now is you're looking at his floor. It's only going up from here. And he's shown some special things. And Larry, let's put it this way. Nick Saban wanted him to be a starting quarterback. So he's got a little something in there.
Yeah, he was fun to watch. And after, it was fun to hear him talk to his teammates about the game. He goes, hey, at times we looked like we were trying to give it away, but they pulled it together. And the the season's looking up, trending way up. Youngstown comes to Acrisure Saturday, and they just were upset by Duquesne. So you think, on paper, this should be a game that the Panthers can handle a little easier than what they did last week or in Cincinnati and be 4-0 going into a bye.
This might be one of those Pat Narduzzi Monday news conferences where he uses the phrase trap game a few times, because they've got a bye week next week, then they go into ACC play. And what you don't want to do is overlook Youngstown State. But, yeah, I mean, they're likely going to go to, you know, play North Carolina being 4-0, which was I don't know how many Pitt fans had that as their record. And it's, you know, obviously sets the table for them to do some things this year. The ACC is kind of proving through the first couple of weeks that it's – I don't know if there's a dominant team in the ACC. Florida State is struggling. Miami's probably the best talented team. Clemson has some talent as well, but obviously they're not perfect as of now. So listen, it's going to be an interesting run. And if they continue to get this type of difference making quarterback play, and if they can get it even for longer stretches of games, I mean, Pitt's going to be in these games.
Well, how about the fact that Cincinnati went and beat Miami at home 27-16, so Pitt beat a good team that beat a really good team, at least on paper. So that's another good sign for this Panthers team going into what should be a easier week.
And Larry, think of it this way. The final game of the year, Pitt will be up in Boston College. It'll be sunny and 70. And who knows? I mean, this could be a huge game for both teams. A lot to be played, a lot of mistakes, kind of like you're saying if you're a Steeler fan, hey, you got the win, but there are things to correct. And now Pitt goes to correct things at 3-0.
I saw Kyle Lewis, who intercepted that last pass, and he had it in the locker room in his hand, and on the ball, there's a WVU logo, and he wouldn't give it up. And I joked to him. I said, there's a West Virginia State trooper looking for that ball outside the locker room. he kind of laughed. But it was a great win overall. Now, college football in general, Penn State had a bye. They host Kent State 3:30 at State College in Beaver Stadium on Saturday. And overall, who's the best college football teams right now? It's got to be like Ohio State. We always hear that. But there are 12 spots for the playoffs this year, which is brand new.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia, I think, is always up top, although they had a really tough game with Kentucky. I think, you know, the team that you don't want to sleep on is a team that Pitt fans are familiar with. That's Tennessee. Tennessee's playing some really good football right now. Obviously, they're in the SEC, and that's a tough conference to run. But if I'm looking at a team where I'm thinking, man, these guys are really good, it's Tennessee. I mean, Texas is off to a good start as well. They went up and clobbered Michigan. Love that. And so I think those two teams, the two T's, Texas and Tennessee, so far, obviously over the course of a season it will change, but they're very talented teams with some nice early wins.
Appreciate the time as always, Jeff. I'll see you on the south side. We'll hear what Coach Narduzzi says about people hiding in the mountains trying to watch them practice.
Well, they're playing the Penguins this week, so I don't – are they going to have to, you know, guard the river?
Good question. All right, partner, thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Odyssey Sports Director Jeff Hathorn. Love to talk a little football, and it's been a good weekend for Pitt and Steelers fans. This is the Big K Morning Show. Appreciate you joining us. A lot going on. Obviously, a big shock yesterday afternoon when we heard there had been an apparent second assassination attempt. It really strikes home here. Since July 13th, we had at the Butler Farm Show area assassination attempt where Corey Comparator was killed, two other men wounded, including former President Donald Trump. And kind of shakes everybody's confidence about security, but in this case, no one was injured. Joining us from CBS is legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Thane, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
I wanted to talk to you initially, and we will, if you don't mind, about the TikTok story, because that's going to get a lot of news today. But meanwhile, what was your reaction when you heard this happened again?
You know, I'm one of those that's profoundly cynical about this, and I'm never surprised. I mean, I don't think people realize the level of polarization in this country. You know, people over, you know, Donald Trump or by Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, you know, they don't talk to their cousins anymore. You know, if they say, you know, if you say one favorable thing about one of the candidates that you don't like, it's over. And so we, you know, it varies. Everything is doused in lighter fluid. And so, you know, you have the media that, again, no longer really reports the news. They just tell you what, you know, what they want you to think. So there's really more of not about what are the facts, but just simply here's what you should be thinking. You see this on college campuses, right? Students are clearly being indoctrinated. Faculty members do not see themselves as there to tell facts. They're there to give a political agenda. So in a country that divided and that polarized, and where, again, you know, protests are violent now, you know, we're burning American flags, right? We're screaming death to America. You know, in a country that this is when you see it, this level of acrimony, what generally follows is, you know, people who take it to the next level.
And we'll get much more information about this. A suspect, 58-year-old Ryan Wesley Ruth of Hawaii, formerly of North Carolina, spent most of his life there. It's just come out. He spent time in Ukraine. That was one of his touch points. But we'll get the details of who this man is. But again, former President Donald Trump safe, nobody else injured in this incident yesterday in West Palm Beach at one of his golf. He owns a number of golf courses, former President Trump. Meanwhile, today, TikTok is challenging a law that would ban the social video sharing platform in the U.S. unless its owner, ByteDance, sells it So this is one of those free speech and liberty contests that a federal judge will hear arguments on today, Thane. Where do you think this goes? Because millions and millions of Americans have TikTok, enjoy TikTok, and many of them don't want it to go away.
Well, Larry, you know, the Chinese flew a balloon right across the United States, and they didn't do it for kicks. You know, they did it for some reason. And one thing we saw during the Trump administration, even in connection with the executive order for the Muslim ban, when things go to the Supreme Court, when laws are written that may have some constitutional infirmity, and in this case, it does. It's a First Amendment problem. The government shall not infringe speech, right? Here they are shutting down TikTok. They're saying either sell yourself to some entity that isn't owned by China or shut down and don't operate within the United States. The government is actually restricting speech, not just the speech rights of the corporation and its owners and shareholders, you know, who are Americans, but more importantly, Americans themselves. A lot of small businesses actually do their business on TikTok. This is how they, you know, this is how they reach, you know, communicate with their customers. But national security is one of those things that at least this Supreme Court looks at and says, you know, we make exceptions with extraordinary, in the ordinary course, the Constitution applies. When we get to something, look, we saw that in connection with the way we dealt with terrorists in the war on terror, right? They did not receive the kinds of constitutional protections that other defendants did. Now, you could say, well, they were non-combatants, so we could say, well, you know, they weren't all American citizens. You know, Barack Obama assassinated Anwar al-Awlaki, who was born in Arizona and moved to Yemen. He was the guy who was preaching on YouTube and radicalized people, including Major Hassan, the guy who killed 50 people in Fort Hood, right? And so, you know, there was an example that when when it comes to the extraordinary, when it comes to national security, we make an exception. General constitutional protections don't apply in the same way. And the government's position is that TikTok's power, you know, they answer to a communist country, and a communist country that does not anymore have friendly relationships with the United States, at least politically, and that it presents a tremendous security risk for millions of Americans to be able to be giving up their private data to TikTok and for the Chinese government to possibly have access to that data.
Well, an important day, and we'll look forward to your reports. Thane, appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you, Larry.
Thane Rosenbaum, legal analyst with CBS in our nation's capital. McAllister, and also in our next hour, you'll meet one of the young people from the University of Pittsburgh, a sophomore, Colin Ferguson, who works with our Next Take Pittsburgh show overnight. And it's really a revolutionary way to stay in touch with the young minds of the students in college. And Aaron, we have a giveaway, and before we get to that, I want to show you. I just sent you a picture. Did you see the picture?
I just opened it.
Breaking, it says, Miami Dolphins signed 63-year-old Home Depot employee Stan Dorino to a one-year, $52 million deal. And they have a very familiar face with a nose and eyeglasses.
And some bushy eyebrows.
Oh, it's hilarious, man. Miami's without their quarterback, Tua. He may call it quits after a fourth concussion.
Jeez.
This one he received on Thursday night. In the meantime, there's a show. Do you ever watch it's called Reno 911?
No, I have not seen that.
Yeah, so one of the stars is Nick Swardson, and he's coming later on this fall. to the Carnegie of Homestead Music Hall on November 24th. He's a very popular stand-up comedian. He's also a screenwriter and producer. And we happen to have a couple of tickets for you. 412-922-1020. Pick a number, Aaron.
Number 3.
Caller number 3 will make you a winner. 412-922-1020. And I know right now, Aaron is... has anxiety because the phone's going to start ringing. Take it easy. Yes, it's okay. Wait a second. Let the phones ring. Settle in. You all right? Okay. She's giving me the thumb. She can't talk. She is that upset. It's funny that way. All right. And we'll continue to bring you the latest, the FBI Secret Service investigating what happened in West Palm Beach, just outside of former President Trump, one of his golf courses, a second assassination attempt, apparently. And we'll continue to get the details of that story. And in many ways, and shocking yesterday, and at first did a double take when realized just after 2 p.m. Eastern, former President Donald Trump, while enjoying a round of golf at his course that he owns in West Palm Beach area, he owns a number in Florida and New Jersey, too. An assassination attempt. In this case, no one was shot or injured, and they have a suspect who they caught up with after a citizen took down the license plate of this car that seemed suspect. You know, when they say, when you see something, say something. Well, whoever did allowed them to catch up with 58-year-old Ryan Wesley Ruth of Hawaii, spent most of his life in North Carolina. And we had anticipated talking to our political analyst, Lenny McAllister, who joins us via our video stream at kdkradio.com. And Lenny is in California, San Diego, near Torrey Pines, a famous golf resort overlooking the Pacific Ocean. Lenny, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Appreciate you doing this. For those that don't know, the West Coast, they're 3 hours behind us, so it's nice and early.
Very much so.
Yes, and really shocking news. It was, you know, for a moment you go, oh, no, not again. Emphasizing, of course, first and foremost, former president not injured, he's safe, and no one else hurt. But still, extremely disturbing. What was your first reaction?
That it was disturbing, that we are in violent times, that every time I talk about the analogy of 1968, incidents like these illustrate that we truly are living in those explosive times, that people are scared, and scared people do very desperate things. And if you look at all the types of incidences that we've seen over the recent past several years, it indicates that. And unfortunately now people are more and more inclined to take shots at political figures in a way that we used to do in America's history, and not so, you know, far back history. Again, you go back to Ronald Reagan 1981, you go back to the assassinations of 1968, and it really illustrates to us that on all sides we need to bring down the rhetoric. On all sides, we need to really think about, we have a system of government that isn't, you know, a zero-sum game. They built the system of government for us to be forced to compromise and work together. But the more that Americans feel as though it's a zero-sum game in politics and public policy, the more they feel that the only way they're going to win is either win the election or take somebody out. And when you have that type of rhetoric and belief system coupled with the anxiety that you're seeing in our society, it's not a shock, unfortunately, that something like this would happen yet again.
And in this case, they have a treasure trove already of information on this suspect, and not exactly sure, you know, what his motivation is. And we may come to learn directly from this Ryan Ruth. But in the meantime, it puts an edge on what was already extremely volatile and edgy to begin with. Another edge in this campaign.
It does, and what you have to remember, Larry, is this, that if some of the information that came out yesterday also said that he had written notes to Biden notes to Vice President Harris, talking about what they needed to do in order to deal with the Ukrainian-Russian war, what they needed to do on other political issues. And then from what, and this is the initial report, so we have to give verifications and confirmations, but part of what also came out was there was an angst of nobody's going to do anything. And if you look at assassins throughout American history, oftentimes these are people that are isolated, that believe that the system has failed me, it's not fair, it's not right, and I must intercede in order to change the course of history. And usually when you have people thinking that way, it usually involves a gun, and it usually involves something very tragic.
In this case, we're talking about somebody who's had a long history of that, and you know, we will find out, I feel confident that they'll, once they interview this, but this brings up the greater concern about the world we live in and securing our political candidates and the Secret Service and the FBI, who have been much maligned into what happened in Butler County on July 13th. So the challenges are even greater now than ever to protect the people who are, you know, in these campaigns.
And it's greater because the flip side to it is we live in an era where we want our public figures, whether it's a music celebrity or a football player, excuse me, or in this instance, a political figure, we want them accessible. So you think about what happened with JFK in 63. Part of the failure of the Secret Service there and led to the JFK assassination was the fact that he was in a convertible. He was on a route where people can access him because he's trying to access the people. Now, take something like that and put it on the steroids of social media in 2024, where we can find out anybody's movement at almost at any given time. There's a reason why people knew that Donald Trump was golfing yesterday. It's because there was some type of leak. He's often there. He's shot on the golf course, taking shots, and you see stuff on Instagram and social media and the like, and people are commenting on it. You're going to see this from both sides. And I think the American people may end up suffering because that accessibility, that, hey, that person knows me and is there for me, may start receding. And that, unfortunately, Larry, it's going to be a self-perpetuating cycle because some of these people believe that people are already too detached in politics. So if you start pulling them away for their own safety, it just creates a bigger schism, which leads to some of these people to say, look, they're reacting less to us. They're listening less to us. And it just feeds into that cycle, which can make it even more dangerous.
Well, when we come back, Lenny McAllister in California this morning, again on our video vMix. You can watch the radio at kdkradio.com. Lenny, I want to ask and talk to you about what happens next now that this attempt, but we are 50 days from the election. We continue our conversation with political analyst Lenny McAllister, who is with us from California this morning. Torrey Pines along the Pacific Ocean in San Diego. So, Lenny, how does this change? If it does, I mean, unfortunately, we've been through this before, but now the campaign and the rhetoric. Where do you suspect that the candidates will go from here? As saying that both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris obviously have put out statements condemning violence of any kind, especially against political candidates, and President Biden promising to give whatever resources to keep former President Donald Trump safe. That said, what's next?
The Trump base is going to be ginned up even more. I'm already hearing it. They already believe that this is the deep state. This is the folks of the swamp of which to be drained. They don't want Trump back in there. They're saying that the establishment feels threatened, that the only way that they feel like they're going to beat Trump in an election is to kill Trump. So those folks are not only ginned up, but they're more protective. They're more excited about this election, and the energy is going to go up even more. Unfortunately, and I'm not equating the two, but when you have Donald Trump that has said, I hate Taylor Swift, which came out over the weekend, when you have all the rhetoric about eating cats and dogs and the J.D. Vance interview over the last 24 hours, where he's trying to defend the rumors coming out of Springfield, at Springfield, Ohio, not Illinois. All these other things coming up, and it's just feeding into this anger, this hatred, this animosity, these tensions at a time where it's still a close election. You still have people that have economic angst. You still have these hot spots around the world, and you still have this divided America. People that support Donald Trump are even more fired up and believe that they have to make sure he gets elected. And then you have people that look at this and say, Donald Trump is feeding into all this hatred, and this is where this is coming from. We absolutely positively can't go through another 4 years of him having the bully pulpit of the Oval Office and leading to this type of tone. Unfortunately, it's not bringing down the tensions. It's probably going to ratchet them up for another 50 days. And I have to say, Larry, it's going to be more than 50 days because half of the country is going to be hurt and angry and scared regardless of who wins this election. We really need leaders that are really good at showing America that they love all of America and bring people back into the fold. And we just haven't seen that over the last couple of decades from anybody on a long-term basis from a position of leadership. And we definitely need it in 2024.
This whole Springfield, Ohio situation was blown out of proportion in the sense that even the Republican governor of Ohio said, we investigated. That's not happening. But people just look the other. They keep talking about it. Rather, it's a huge distraction. And frankly, it's been dangerous in Springfield, Ohio for the residents there. Instead of really talking about the important facts, it's a major distraction that went on almost all last week since it came out. Up until now, this will be the next thing, so they'll move off of that narrative, I would imagine. But it's still not talking about the real details of platforms and what you're actually going to do.
Well, let's go back to the debate. I mean, what ended up happening with that was Donald Trump gave no details, which gave Kamala Harris an opportunity to not give any details. I mean, people forget that one of the big critiques about the vice president is the fact that, number one, she's not been giving a whole lot of really good details as to how she's going to implement the plans that she's proposing. And number two, she has yet to explain why she's had some major 180-degree shifts from some of the policies that she put out there not that long ago when she actually ran for president, including how she switched so drastically on fracking. There's several different things that she needs to explain that she has yet to do. And we're talking about dogs in Springfield, Ohio, and we're buying into and feeding into some of the most basic hatreds and stereotypes that we can have in our nation. Again, part of the reason why this is resonating with a small sliver of America, and I won't say it's a majority of America, but a resonating portion of America, is because you're talking about immigrants. In this instance, you're talking about dark-skinned immigrants, and you're talking about some of the most basal biases about people that are othered. They're eating cats and dogs. They're rapists and murderers. They're robbing and killing people. These are the things that we've continued to hear, and it's the politics of fear that's been playing out for the last several years. And I mean, this goes back to not that long ago again, and this is why what John McCain did in 2008 was so important. This was trying to fester in 2008, and he grabbed the microphone and had a very famous incident and said, no, he's a good man. He's just like us. We just disagree on policy. 16 years later, nobody's doing that. They're actually feeding into it, and in some instances, on both sides of the aisle, which, of course, only makes the bases more tense and only brings about more of the paranoia, and you start to see more of these type of actions. And hopefully, this will be the last incident involving a gun and a major political candidate in 2024, and dare I say, for America's future overall as well.
Hard to believe it's been less than a week since the presidential debate, and look what's transpired since. And by the way, at the end of last week, Donald Trump said this.
So because we've done two debates and because they were successful, there will be no third debate.
So we know there's no third debate, at least as of now. Don't anticipate that changing, but the vice presidential debate, J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, will be October 1st. So that'll be the next, and that's just a couple of weeks away. But in the meantime, who knows what can happen in between here and there, right, Lenny?
The crazy thing about these political cycles is the fact that we get so much information over a short period of time. And Larry, this is part of the problem too. You keep saying it and you're right. Nobody's talking about issues because we're getting bombarded with the pop politics of America, where people, there are some voters that are just like, I'm sick of it. I'm done with it. Neither party cares and are not really speaking to me, and they walk away, which is why, you know, there are people that think that this election should be shifting one way or another. If you look at the economy, they think it should definitely still be Trump. And if you look at the debate performance, they think it should definitely be Harris. But it's still a close election because you have a certain tone within the American electorate that says no one's really listening, nobody really cares, and they're self-absorbed, and they're not really paying attention to me. And that is problematic because that is a problem that's long-term, and it will lead to our government and our public policy mechanisms not working for the everyday American moving forward, regardless of who wins.
And the countdown continues 50 days to the election. Lenny McAllister, our political analyst and a man who wears many hats, including the one that takes him to California. Safe travels home, Lenny, and thanks for making time.
Thank you, kind sir. God bless you all. See you next week in person.
This is the Big K Morning Show. This half hour, we'll check in with Marty Griffin. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about what's transpired over the weekend. Meanwhile, we welcome University of Pittsburgh sophomore Colin Ferguson, who is part of our team overnight. It's Next Take Pittsburgh, and he joins us on our video vMix. You can see Colin at kdkradio.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing well. It was a busy weekend, a lot going on, but the important news of what transpired yesterday afternoon in West Palm Beach, Florida. Curious how college students are reacting to this second assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump. What do you guys talk about when things like this happen? And this is the second time, as you well know, since July 13th.
It's kind of terrifying. You know, this is the first time in our lives we're seeing events that are transpiring at such like a mass degree. It's to have attempts on a life at somebody of this pedigree, it's unprecedented for us. So you know, it's my roommate and I were kind of like we were watching the Giants game when it happened, and we just kind of dropped everything. Like it was stunning. It's so unexpected.
Yeah, I would agree. Stunning. I felt the same way, and I looked twice, curious, where do most college students get their news now? Social media, right?
A lot of social media, yeah. So mine came on an X push notification. That was the first word I had.
And then what is the conversation like when we talk about this very divisive world we live in, country split down the middle, 50 days now to Election Day in this campaign? I would love to be a fly on the wall in what you and your fellow students talk about when it comes to these issues.
Look, whether we agree or disagree with his policy, what have you, the general consensus is he doesn't deserve to die. That is absolutely like so far and beyond not okay. It's, you know, there's not a lot of debate about that fact. The debate is whether or not, you know, we agree with his policy, what he says, but there's just, that's not relevant, at least in my eyes, when there's a full-on second attempt at his life within the last couple of months.
And what about the issues? We get very little about the details of the issues, just these broad brushes that the candidates paint with. What's most important to you?
For me personally, it's kind of a bit of a healthy mix. I like to focus a lot about healthcare specifically. That's just a me thing because I am diabetic myself. So that's just, it's one of those things that I kind of hyperfixate on. It's the things that are in my life that happen around me that I tend to give, you know, the most precedence to, the most attention to.
Do you plan on voting? I'm guessing yes.
Yes, first time. I'm excited.
First time. And then when you talk to your fellow students, I got to tell you, you know, when I was in college, yeah, I don't know, I couldn't even imagine what percentage of the students actually voted, but it seems like this generation's a little more engaged. So do you anticipate most of the people you know voting?
I do. I very much do. It helps that, you know, I live with a poli-sci major. I know a lot of them. But at the same time, you know, the university community has done a fantastic job. Every day, if you walk out by the cathedral or by the Pitt Union, there's at least two, not maybe three tables of people trying to, you know, make sure people are registered, people are getting their voices heard. The community is doing a phenomenal job to make sure that students are actually prepared and are able to make their voices heard. And I think that that's a tremendous thing. And that's really, really critical in terms of getting people to show up to the polls.
All right, politics aside, what are you guys talking about on campus?
Right now, it's all about the brawl. I won't lie.
Yeah, that was one heck of a football game. Were you there?
I was there, yep.
Let me tell you something, Colin, that's a rarefied, that's a legendary type game and performance that you'll remember for a long, long time. It was a lot of
fun.
Yeah,
without a doubt. That was tremendous. I don't think I've ever been to a sports game quite like that.
Yeah, that was special. All right. Overnights, 1 until 5, we have our college students. It's a great opportunity to get a window into their world. We appreciate what you're doing, Colin. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Next Take Pittsburgh on the Big K. Colin Ferguson, our guest. And coming up, we're going to check in with Marty Griffin next. If you want to reach out, just a click away, email us at instantaccesskdkradio.com. We all get your emails. Do you have comments, questions, suggestions? instantaccess@kdkradio.com. A lot of people have discovered it's just one way to stay in touch. Coming up, 10 until 2, Marty Griffin, and also in studio, former Secret Service agent for serving four presidents, Ron Layton, will be interested to hear his perspective on what transpired West Palm Beach, Florida yesterday outside of Donald Trump's golf course there just after 2 p.m. yesterday. And in terms of keeping our candidates safe, this is shocking to a lot of people that there's a second attempt apparently on the life of former President Donald Trump. And right away indicating that he was safe, nobody else hurt, the suspect in custody, a 58-year-old. And we'll get a lot more with Marty and Ron Layton coming up here right after the news at the top of the hour with David Balorado.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.